Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Hump Day!
Yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh yeah, it's a good one tonight.
I feel like it's really fun when you get to do the two oh yeahs. And I feel like the reason for that is because you get super excited and you're really into it.
I am
ready to deliver.
I am ready.
Right? You
to deliver.
Are ready. It's fantastic. So welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss. Dustin running the stream.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
And Tom is helping us with production here. Thank you so much for being with us here at Best Bet Jacksonville. So we are broadcasting live. And, of course, I'm certain that you can hear some of our players looking for a seat, finding a place to go. They are finding their next place where they are going to win their next 100, 1,000, tens of thousands of dollars. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. The 1010XL main event is kicking off here. In fact, right now, cards are in the air.
They're getting ready to kick it off right now. I don't know if they have yet. There's kind of a big line at the cage.
That's fantastic. We love that. I mean, we don't love lines, but we like that people are excited.
There's a lot of
to
people
play
there.
And they're ready. So, yes.
Yeah,
so
feel it in the air.
It's the first 1010XL main event tournament of 2021. So we're settling into January here. This is kind of a warm-up for those who are looking to play some tournament poker for the Winter Open, which kicks off January 21st. This is a nice little warm-up. And, you know, it kind of, like, you know, blows the cobwebs out, so to speak. And
right.
I thought it was interesting that somebody said to me, recently, we talked about playing tournaments, and they said, you know, I haven't sat down to play a tournament in 10 months, you know, since quarantine happened. Maybe,
right.
You know, they were concerned about coming to a place or for whatever reason. And they say, you know, I really want to come in and play. But should I be worried about doing that since I haven't played a tournament in so long? I'm not conditioned. I'm not ready. And what does that look like? And here's what I say to you. This is the perfect tournament to play. And here's
this
why.
This is the perfect warm-up tournament.
It is the perfect warm-up tournament, which is why it was placed where it is on the calendar. It's $110 to enter. So it's not a...
It's not going to break the bank.
It's not going to break the bank in terms of people that look at tournament-style play. In fact, this is pretty much at the bottom level of where you will find a tournament buy-in. So that looks like come out, enjoy, have fun. Most of the people that are playing in this tournament have won their way in, satellited their way in, or they are players that literally only play this tournament once every quarter.
Right.
And this is all that they do. So it's wonderful, and it's a great time. You're not going to come in
here. It's a really fun crowd, too.
It really is. You're not going to come in and find the guys that are, you know, stuck in their blinders and have nowhere to look. And all they're looking to do is secure the World Series of Poker bracelet. This is not that crowd. So this is the crowd to visit and join. If you're looking to say, hey, I've either never played poker, I need a little bit of, maybe a little intro. This is a great tournament for you. Come in, see me. I'll give you the Poker 101 rundown, and you'll be ready to play inside of 5 minutes, I promise.
And if you knock out one of the bounties...
You get your
$110 right back.
So there are 5 opportunities for you to be free rolling this event. So come in, you sit down, you play, knock one of the bounties out, you get $110 on the spot. Also, I do have to say this. We have a special guest that's going to join us, Reggie Exum, who is a lifelong Jacksonville poker playing tennis enthusiast. Actually, I feel like, hold on a minute. I need to restate that. He is a tennis-playing poker enthusiast, man.
A tennis-playing poker enthusiast.
That's correct. And we need to make sure we get that where it goes. But he's going to join us and tell us what his strategy is jumping into the 1010XL main event. Because, you know, you're looking at, like, a man who is highly competitive.
A competitor,
he's
that's right.
He's very skilled. Tennis is an exceptionally mental sport. And he's going to come in and tell us, like, if you're looking at trying to dominate a sport using only your mind, right? How do we do that?
Mind power.
Right. It would seem like as easy as like, oh, well, I'll just be smarter than you. But it's not that simple.
No, there's a lot more to it than that.
Everybody has their own strategy, so you need to be able to adjust. But so he's going to join us, and we're looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that.
So changes that have happened in the poker world or poker industry. Colorado has just changed their statute. They made a vote and have decided to release or eliminate the $100 max bet. Yes.
Well, you know, when I started in this gaming industry back in 1991, yes, that was a long time ago, I started in Colorado and it was $5 limit.
Okay.
We played poker. The maximum bet was $5, so you played the limit. There was five raises to juice it up a little bit. But every bet was $5 in increments of $5. And you wanted to play blackjack, you could bet $5. So they've come a long way. I don't know when they raised it to 100.
What?
But it's been several years, right?
Let's see. Let me see if I can find on here when it actually went up. They did vote, and they decided that they were going to remove it as of May the 1st. I'm not certain when the $100. So it originally started, if you remember gaming in Colorado, it started with a $5 max bet.
Right.
So you could come in and you could bet up to $5 maximum from any single person's,
right,
any individual person's wager. Then they tried to find ways around that in poker so they could say, okay, well, then there's a pot max versus a person betting max, because it was like, okay, we could only bet like 5 and 10 cents a piece if we're going to bet no limit, right? So that changed. But then it became a $100 bet, and now they've elected to remove
it from
the
table. Cap, right? No cap.
It's going to be just like Las Vegas-style wagering starting in May, which is pretty exciting. Right? I'll be honest with you. So to all of you casino owners in Colorado over the last 2 years that I've been trying to connect with and get you to sell me your hot spots, I'm so happy you held on to it. No, I'm teasing. But so that's really fun. Sheldon Adelson passed away.
He did a couple days ago or yesterday, something like that.
Yesterday, I do believe. 86 years old.
Yeah, 87.
87 years old. Pretty remarkable feat. Now, if you don't know who Sheldon Adelson is, he was the owner of Las Vegas Sands,
right,
Corporation. So Las Vegas Sands looked to be
Venetian Palazzo. In addition to that, he had the Sands Hotel in Macau.
Yes.
And I think it's called the Marina Del Rey in Singapore.
Yes.
And he was, you may not know this, but the Venetian and the Palazzo were up for sale recently. He had said that he wanted to sell his United States-based properties. So he wasn't selling all of Sands, but just the ones in Las Vegas.
Now, do you think he was selling them because he was failing in health and he was concerned about that? Or do you think it was just coincidence that
I think it's just coincidence.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just coincidence. He's just, he's one of those guys, love him or hate him, he's a businessman and worked till he died. He just continued to work and continued to just keep moving forward until you hit the wall, I guess.
Until he can't move forward anymore.
Until he can't move forward anymore, which is yesterday for him.
Yeah. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens, because also he was a very big opponent of the online poker and online gaming. He was very much against online poker.
Yes. I mean, as a casino industry, as a gaming industry as a whole, most people did not mesh well with Sheldon Adelson unless you were a brick-and-mortar casino.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were anything outside the realm of that, then I felt like you didn't fit inside of his box.
Well, he was for himself, so
100%.
If he felt like it worked for him, he did it, and if not, he was against it. That's pretty much it.
All right, well, let's take a quick break.
We're getting started. You can hear
we
us
are.
Getting started.
Listen, I hear it. It's going off. It sounds like Prosser is being introduced. Twitterless Jeff.
Twitterless
if you haven't
Jeff.
Heard, the chalk is on him to be the first bounty busted. I feel like they just introduced me, but I'm not here. Well, I am here, but I'm not there.
You're here, not there.
I'm here, but I'm not there. So, what do we got there, Boss Man? Can you see how many people are registered?
115 so far.
115 people registered. Registration is open until after
8:10.
They are just getting the cards in the air. 5 bounties. Don't forget, $110 will get you into this tournament. Registration is open until about 8:10 tonight.
This is going to be a record. We're going to go for a record. Our record is 275.
And
we're
to be fair, yep, 275 was the record from last time. Looking to break that in again. The tournament is just kicking off, and 100 and what is it at now?
116.
116 people registered.
117.
So come on down. You have until just a little bit after 8 o'clock p.m. to register. 201 Monument Road. Join us at Best Bet Jacksonville for the 1010XL Main Event Tournament. $110 will get you in. 5 bounties. Knock any of them out, and you're free rolling for that $110. We will be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss and Dustin running the live stream. We're live here at Best Bet Jacksonville. Of course, we have our 1010XL main event, the first one of 2021 kicking off here. Cards are in the air just a few minutes ago. We are up to, I don't have a tournament clock. Boss Man,
128.
I feel like, there it is. There is a clock. To be fair, there's a clock. I just can't see it. I'm blind. So 128 players.
And a line.
And
we're
a line.
Definitely breaking the record tonight.
Again, tournament
over
just 275? Kicked off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Book it.
Hopefully. Boss Man, okay, so here. Right now, everybody, now and forever, what is the line? Boss Man, set the line, and then Dustin, take the over or under first.
Give me the line, Boss Man.
Come on, do it, sir. You always do well here.
303.
303? Ooh, God, that's a solid line.
That's aggressive. That's an aggressive line.
That's a solid line.
I'm going to take the under.
So for those of you who might not know what that means, basically, based on the projection of the last few tournaments, the boss seems to think that 305, what did you say, 305?
303.
303. 303 players are going to register for tonight's event.
At least.
And we have
at
to decide
303.
Whether we think it's going to be more than that or less than that.
Take the over, kids. Take the over.
Yeah? Tom, what do you think? Over or under? Under. Tom
wow.
says under.
Wow, I got 200.
Ah.
Easy money over here,
right?
Like I don't know what I'm doing or something.
What did you take, Dustin? Did you take the over?
I took the under.
You took the under?
I took under 303. 303 would be a massive record.
I'll be honest with you, as I peer over my right shoulder, and as the line gets longer, there's fewer body parts I need to peer over. So it's like my left finger. I think I'm going to take the over. 303. Boss Man, I love this. This is a fantastic line.
We got two overs and two unders.
So what will that Good. Make first place? Still around like 5,000, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
All right. So if you're looking to pick up a nice, cool $5,000 tonight, you have nothing else to do. Maybe you have something to do, but you could give it up for $5,000.
Right.
This is the place to be. 201 Monument Room. $110 will get you into this tournament. There are 5 bounties. So remember that if you knock any of those bounties out, you get $110 back on the spot, which means you're free rolling the event. There are going to be some fancy fun players in here. And I say fancy fun because Reggie Exum is going to join us. He is the executive director of tennis operations for the Williams YMCA. And I know he's trying to scoot out of this interview, but I feel if I call him out on the air, he will have no choice but to
sit down with
us prior to sitting down at his table and trying to win some money. So we're looking forward to hearing from him. And, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like over the last year since he's been there, all I hear is how to win, how to close and secure that win. So I'm pretty excited about shifting the tables and being like, this is my field of expertise, son. How are you going to secure that win at the poker table?
Well, we know he's competitive in nature, so he's going to be in it to win it. He's going to want it.
Yeah.
And that's cool. So it'll be interesting to talk to him and see what his strategy is. And
so we're looking forward to that.
He's going to play.
All right. So while we're waiting for him to join us, how about we talk about some tournament play? And let's talk specifically about aggressive tournament play pre-flop. So how do you guys, I feel like, you know, pre-flop poker is the easiest poker to play, okay? But what happens if you get in pre-flop poker where it is a straight four-bet pre-flop? How do you generally react to that?
Fold.
Okay, Dustin?
I mean, there's a lot of variables, but yeah, a four bet represents a lot of strength. A lot of people, we've talked about it before, a lot of people don't four bet bluff very often.
So
so unlikely that people four bet bluff, especially in most common, ordinary, everyday poker games, that if you fold every time you're facing a four bet and you don't have aces, you're going to be right probably 99 times out of 100.
So let me ask you this question.
Maybe not 99, but let's say in the high 90s.
I think it would be so close that the difference would be so marginal, it would be inconsequential.
Yeah.
So would it stand to reason then if knowing that coming into this tournament, you just four-bet every single hand until somebody decided to call? Like, I'm not joking. Like, if you feel like you take that line, like if you feel like most people think that, would it be a fair assumption to anytime somebody three bets, you just sort of like literally out of the gate, you know nothing about your opponents, nothing about anybody else, but the first time a three bet is implemented, you go ahead and take the four bet stance, regardless of your cards.
I like it.
You take the position.
I like it, but I guess, you know, in talking about this, right? You did mention tournament play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think although it would be the correct play to fold for if you're facing a four bet, tournament play is different because if you don't have any chips in the pot, fold 100%. You got to fold. But if you are the one that put in the second or third bet, you may be in a spot where you have to just call and go for
sure.
It.
Sure. Yeah, that's one of the variables is kind of stack sizes, you know, especially in tournaments.
Especially in tournaments where you're never playing that deep.
Right.
So even having an opportunity to four bet, you're probably going to be all in.
So I'm going to go back to my original question here, which is if you find yourself in this tournament.
In this tournament.
Tournament starts. Everybody has the same amount of chips.
Yeah.
So the playing field's equal, right?
Yeah.
And now, remember, this is a tournament where it's a tournament not like many other, right? You come in, you have a lot of people that play poker on a regular basis, and then you have a lot of people that don't play that much, right? So it changes the dynamic of the tournament a little bit.
Right.
So say you come into this tournament and you just say, all right, every single time somebody three bets pre-flop, I'm going to four bet. Would that be a good strategy?
No.
Why not?
I don't think so, because I think you're going to, in this tournament, and based on the stack size, I think you're going to get called.
Dustin, what do you think?
I think in this tournament specifically, I think you're going to get called more often than you should.
Yes.
The smaller the buy-in, the more often you're going to get called in those spots.
Correct.
All right. So then let's so you guys have identified that. So let's move forward to the Winter Open. The first event of the 11-event series happens on January 21st, which is sometime next week, I assume. I'm like, what's today? 13th?
Next Thursday.
We're just a little outside of a week away, a week from tomorrow. So what are the odds that those people would implement something like that? And would that be successful? Like, could you do that?
I would say you will be more successful in that tournament for several reasons. A, this tournament tonight is more of an amateur tournament than even the opening event. of the Winter Series, partly because the buy-in is three times as large. It's $300. Or no, it's five. It's a $500 buy-in. So that puts you in a different category of player to begin with. Also, you're going to be starting with more chips, and it's a little bit longer structured structure.
Mm-hmm.
On purpose, right? So that makes the play a little bit different to where people don't have to 3-bet and 4-bet everything, so that when they do, it is more impactful. And because of the stack size and the length of the levels, you will find people will fold to a 4-bet more often than in this tournament.
Okay, so this entire conversation is all about poking holes in your theory. So please hang with me, because I find this like so. I think it's interesting.
This is like
to
your
like,
favorite game, right?
It's my favorite
game.
Just
to tell him why he's wrong.
Yeah, tell him when you're wrong, right?
Yeah,
like, it's my favorite. Right? Like,
yeah.
This is when you're wrong.
With
right?
a setup.
She waits all week for
with a setup, right? She
yeah.
set it up.
Oh my god! Dang, yeah. Set yourself up. Poke a hole in the theory. No, but like, okay, so if that's the case, right? Should you? I just think it's interesting, like, we look at tournaments, and we look at the 10-10 XL tournament, and then we look at a tournament that we're playing a week from now.
Right.
And we look at how you may or may not be successful, what types of plays might be successful or more successful in that type of play. So I guess my philosophical question would be, does it stand to reason that if it seems like that play would not work very well in this type of tournament or the tournament in January, can you flip-flop and use it to your advantage, right? Could you say, okay, well, most people in this tournament would call a 4-bet because they feel like, it doesn't make that much sense, right? So you call a little bit lighter. Now on the other side, right, conversely, when you're playing in the tournament that's running through the Winter Series, is it smarter to call lighter? Because people are making that play. You know what I mean? Like, can you lobby yourself into a position?
You,
people haven't been playing a lot of tournament poker, so I'm trying to find
places
where you can.
Well, we're talking about a couple different things. One is, should you call lighter because people are
They're playing a different caliber of tournament.
Because they're playing a different because they're more likely to 4-bet potentially lighter.
The skill level.
Right.
Changes. Sure.
And maybe, but I think what I'm trying to say is people are going to call lighter more in this tournament, whether it's correct or incorrect, where you will call less in a tournament, or you will get called less in a tournament mm-hmm. with a higher buy-in, more chips and longer levels. Now, if you flip that and use that to your advantage, I think you have to use that knowledge to your advantage, yes. It means you can 4-bet more and get called less in a bigger tournament.
So if you're going to move that information and you say, all right, we're going to take what can we exploit out of tournament play, moving into the Winter Open. Tournament starts January 21st, right?
Next week.
This is the first major tournament. Again, like
this is the first one we've had since last year's Winter Open.
Correct.
It's been a year.
People are out of shape, right? And again, if we talk about, like, I joined the ladies for Helmets and Heels last night, and we talked about poker is a sport, right? It's a mental sport like chess, but it is a sport nonetheless. So you are conditioned one way or another. You're either practicing or participating. You're doing something to keep yourself conditioned to the sport. So if you have stepped outside of tournament poker and the first tournament that's happening, how do you really warm up for that? And I guess that's where I'm going is like, do you kind of treat it like a 10-10 XL tournament where it's a little bit outside of the realm of this is more fun, exciting.
Right.
If you've never played before, this is the type of tournament to dive into. I don't know that I would tell somebody to do that in a Winter Open event. That's a $560 tournament. Not that you couldn't take a shot, but if somebody has never played poker before, I would not steer them to that
particular $500 tournament.
Tournament.
No. you would steer them to this tournament like, for $110. Right. More casual, more fun.
Yeah,
more fun, sure. More
absolutely.
And you don't need to be conditioned, right? So do you think you can take some of those things from tonight's strategy and actually implement them in some of the Winter Open tournaments? Because people are really, they're out of practice.
Sure.
They haven't been playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you think some of those are going to work more now than they would normally work prior to the pandemic? Like, I feel like let's find things that we can use to our advantage.
Sure.
What happened that we can use that really launches us into the next playing field, you know?
I mean, I don't know about the four betting thing. I think, you know, most people are going to want to stick around in a tournament. In general, people are not going to want to call a four bet, even though you will get called to more in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This is a re-entry tournament also, so you have to pick your timing. Remember, you're always going to get called more if you're still in the registration period, because somebody can go re-enter and get back in the tournament.
Sure.
And if after that registration period, it's a better chance in any tournament. Mm. If you're trying to pull off a big four-bet play on somebody, do it after the registration period.
Save your bluffs for after late reg.
Yeah, I mean, it's
save
also...
Save your bluffs for post-registration.
Yeah. Also,
I mean,
I just think you can sneak some things through.
You know, I think that's a good point.
Don't be afraid. Yeah. Like, sneak them through. Now's the time.
I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
Yeah.
You can sneak a few through, sure.
I mean, now's the time. Like, literally, people are not used to seeing it. It's not coming across their radar the way it's supposed to. And we're going to talk with Reggie here in a minute. And we're going to compose some tennis strategies that are full on exactly the same as poker stuff. Because when you're not used to seeing it, you don't expect it. So if that's the case, regardless of what your strategy level is, if you give them something different to look at, I think it's going to be beneficial to you. So as we come back in to the tournament world and we leave the pandemic area where we're not playing tournaments and this kind of thing, this is the first big tournament. It's a multi-day, multi-flight.
Yep.
Like, it's the biggest one, and nobody's
biggest
conditioned
one.
To it. So take the edge, I think. Find the lines and the places where you can implement the plays that wouldn't traditionally work and use them to your advantage.
Yeah,
that's what
I
think.
Go for it.
Go for it. All right, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got more with the Best Bet Poker Show on 10XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin running the stream. If y'all can see us right now, I don't know where the boss man is, but it doesn't matter. We don't need him. Here's what I can say. There is a massive line coming from the cage right now. So we have, Dustin, help me, be my eyes, please. 180.
Oh, wow.
We have 180 players registered right now for the 1010XL main event. Level 2 just kicked off. There is a nice line heading to the cage, and with those people, it is definitely at about 220, Dustin, with those people registering, we think. Maybe 220, 230?
Yeah,
there's at least 230 with the people in line, and that doesn't count the other people that are coming in and registering. And speaking of one of the people coming in and registering, we have Reggie XM joining us. So I feel like, do I need to give you an introduction? Yes.
Of course.
We need to give you an introduction. So, UNF player, UNF tennis player, UNF, I keep wanting to say Poker Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Tennis Hall of Fame. So you are one of the most intricate, memorable tennis players in all of North Florida. You, and if I do not, correct me if I'm wrong, twin brother.
Yes, Roger.
Okay. Federer?
Oh, he wishes, yes.
Wait, your brother or Federer wishes?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you and twin brother, and we were very blessed to have you come to be the new tennis director at the Williams YMCA.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're super fortunate to have you over there. And I drug you out here to play some poker with us. So have you played poker?
Like, I have not played live before. Okay. I've played online with friends and people like that. So it's a different world that I'm in. I'm now in your world compared to you being in mine on the tennis court. So
I'm looking forward to coming behind you and be like, what are you doing?
Oh, I expect it. I totally expect it.
Full on rage, like screaming. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, you don't do that, but I just feel like it would be fun. And I may never get another opportunity. So
that's
let's
right.
be honest.
Made me go full tilt on the third hand, right?
Honestly. No, so you know, so you come out here. So you play online. So you know the game. You know No Limit Hold'em. You're mm-hmm. familiar with the way that it works, how to bet, and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you've played online.
Correct.
And you probably played with friends in a live form of setting, but not in a formal setting of like a card room.
Oh, it's totally different. Just even not even being out there yet, it's like treading into water now. It's like I've never been to for something uncharted.
Okay, so you're walking out and you're going to come in, you're going to play this, and I assume you feel fairly confident, as I know you do.
Yeah, probably a false sense, but sure.
But it's fine. Yeah. Either way, there's some confidence there.
Correct.
So you're coming out and you're going to play, and like. Tell me, like, how do you – so let's do this. Yeah. Let's shift to tennis because you're super comfortable with that.
There you
go.
And
a master tennis player. So you get up, you're ready, you're going to go out, and you're going to battle, right?
Correct.
And you're planning to play the match of your life. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for that mentally?
Mentally, I think you go back to your basics of what you know and what you're confident with.
Okay.
I try to think when I go out there, just stick with the basics. I had a friend that used to tell me peanut butter and jelly. Don't try to make this deluxe sandwich out there. Go with what you know. Because, again, if I'm not a serve and volleyer, why would I come to the net? If I like the baseline, I want to stay there and play with something, again, that I know that I'm confident in doing. So, and try to, I guess you could do it out here on the poker table as well, impose my will on the other person. So, again, I don't want to play their game. I want to play mine. So, again, if I can get into that habit or into that form, I should have an advantage starting off and in that first set. So
let me ask you this question. So you talk about, like, playing – yeah, that's a great point. Like, play my game. Don't play their game.
Correct.
So when you're out here on the poker table, and while you might not have, you know, have a lot of live experience, mm-hmm. you definitely know poker, and you've played online, and you can hold your own. Mm-hmm. So when you're in a situation, whether it be live or, you know, online experience
right. –
when you find yourself in a spot where you feel pressure,
mm-hmm.
How do you work through that pressure?
I know for the tennis court, I guess I'll use that as an example. I try not to get too high or too low. I think that's the key. You'll watch the professionals out there, even in college tennis, they'll get this really, really high, but then really, really low, whether it's three or four games after that. So I want to say when that happens, you have to keep even keel the whole time. You really do, because if not, you might win a couple games and then lose the next set. So I think you have to find that buffer in between where you don't get too, you know, too crazy out there.
Yeah, I like that. So
that's really similar to poker. I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but that's really similar to poker to kind of keep your emotions in check and try not to be results oriented and just kind of focus on what you can control.
Well, I'll be watching it on TV, whether it's late at night or something like that. And it's great because you get to watch. And I don't care what sport you're at, whether it's baseball, soccer, tennis, poker, whatever, bowling, even on TV, you watch those things and you try to see how competitive they are. And those ones that can really keep it together through those highs and those lows, they're the ones that are those champions, the ones that really can get through that pressure. It's amazing to watch, no matter what you're playing.
So do you take some of the things that you know from being a tennis coach and playing playing and stuff, like how do you transition some of those pieces to another sport like poker, for instance?
Right Exactly. Well, I think if you take it stage by stage, if it's something you've never done before, whatever you learn starting off, just even if it's the basics, use those tools is what you'll have. So I'll see some people that, let's say, have played tennis for 5 or 10 years, someone that's maybe just getting into it for a year or two. They might not be as experienced, but again, at least talent-wise, they can compete. So again, I think also the experience comes in mentally as well. I think between your ears, if you get some people, no matter what sport it is, if they're pretty similar physically-wise on the court, then between the ears mentally, you can win or lose it right there. You see people like Serena or John McEnroe, and they have those highs and lows, but they use that mental ability to just, you know, get that edge.
To find some balance, right?
Oh, exactly.
So when you come out here, right, like, so you get to go from one sport where you are, like, dominate.
Right.
You're dominating the sport, and you're shifting from one sport to the next. Mm-hmm. Both of those sports are extremely mental sports, right? Like, I think that pretty much anybody that knows the sport of tennis would say that it's more mental than physical
any
day of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So if that's the case, and we're transitioning into tennis, which or from tennis into poker, which is also a very mental sport. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's literally, like, there's really no physical
part of it.
Oh, yeah.
The physical part is just being able to, like, sit for a long time. But, like, what pieces, like, what cues do you take from the court to the felt and say, this is really, like, my mantra?
Well, like I think before we talk about playing your own game, if you're a tight player, that's fine. You want to do that, you know, of what you know. But if you're going to try to maybe bully some people on the table, then you go ahead and do that. You play a strong game and you go in a lot of hands, even if you don't have anything, just to, you know, show that domination or that force out there. So I think you have to go with what you have. Like we talked about earlier, if I'm not a serve and volleyer, I'm not going to do that just on a whim because, you know. And if you find on your opponents what their weakness is, you want to try to exploit that as well. I think that's something I would bring out as well. So if someone's a tight player, get them to play a lot of hands. Just like if I know on the court if someone doesn't like their backhand, I'm going to play to that side all day long, you know.
Yeah. No, that's super smart.
Yeah.
It is. And you know, it's definitely, as you said, a mental game like tennis. And it's interesting that you can really – think about strategies from sports and how they transfer over to poker.
Oh, they really do.
So well. You know, if, you know, the simplest one is like you say, you know, a guy's tight, you raise him more often. If a guy plays loose, maybe you don't raise him light as much, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna pick a better hand.
Well, the same as tennis, you have to read the other person on the other side as well. So if they're really tired, make them run a little bit more, you know, make the points a little bit longer. If they're in really good shape, okay, maybe they run great baseline to baseline, but maybe don't like to come in. Drop shot, bring them in a little bit. So they're trying to exploit you just as much as you are them. It's not just a friendly game. We go out there and hope to hit a couple balls in and win. They're mentally thinking what's the easiest way to beat you and vice versa. So I think that's where the mental part of it comes in, and that's what kind of, you know, gets those people that win those championships and get a little bit better.
And in both games, you do better in tennis, score more points, poker, win more pots or more money,
right,
when you get your opponent to make a mistake.
Correct.
It's not necessarily
the unforced
you.
Errors.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right. It's not necessarily you doing everything, you know, to put them put them in a place, but if you can get them to make a mistake, you win.
Well, you see people on ESPN all the time. You see the highlights of the winners and the great shots by Federer and Nadal. 70% of points in tennis are won by either forced or unforced errors. So the ones you see, of course, on TV are all the big shots, but people want to go out there and hit the ball. You see a lot of guys at whatever club you're at, they'll miss six shots and then make one. They think that's just great, but they're down already, you know, 3-1 in the match. So you have to make sure that, again, most of the points that are won are off errors and not winners that you always see.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we talk about, you know, so we look at this tournament, this tournament versus the tournament that's happening, like the main event, the $2,000 buy-in, January 28th. And then we look at, like, the World Series of Poker, which is $10,000. And each tournament has its own caliber, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of look at it as, like, these are the type of people I like to play with. These are the type of people I like to play with. And people come in with their strategy based on that.
Right.
So from your expertise of your field of tennis, right, I know that, like, I feel like anytime I've come into a match and I say, I'm going to win this match based on X, those are the matches I lose. And not only do I lose them, I lose them miserably. I'm like, it's Ethel and Jane.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know, have
the,
like,
nicest
17
people.
Knee braces.
Oh, yeah.
And they have, like, they're wrapped from head to toe.
And they're just happy to be on the court today
to
play.
They're so happy to be. And they're the ones that literally, like, school you and own you. And you look around and you're like, what just happened?
Well, those are the ones with experience, you know. And you might get some, I'm sure it's poker as well. I'm sure I'll see that out there today, being an inexperienced poker player live. I'm sure people will see that for sure. But just like me when I'm on the tennis court, if I play people with, again, similar abilities, but with the experience that I have, you can see what's going on. And again, I think the game is slower for those people with the more experience you have. I'm sure out here as well, you play millions of hands, you know what's going to happen based on past history. So that's something with an inexperienced player like myself won't see, but on the tennis court, I see a piece of cake.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's sort of looking to it like, you know, don't overanalyze the tournament. It is a $110 tournament. Mm-hmm. You're going to get what you're going to get. Like, don't look for this type of a play in that type of a caliber, right? Or
right. I mean, this is a fun tournament, too. You're supposed to just come out
conversely,
and have fun.
Right.
But you do want to, you know, everybody, it's a competitive sport, and it's fun to – that's part of the fun is that, that spirit of competition.
So how do you maintain – Reggie, how do you maintain your competitiveness if you're playing – underneath a level in which you would normally play? Like how do you say, okay, I'm going to be competitive and win when you're playing with me? You could generally go and play with somebody else and actually hit the ball and play real tennis, right? How do you do that? How do you transition there?
I think what you do is, of course, your mindset is, okay, I'm not going to hit winners here. And you try to get in the groove at the level of the play that you're at. So at least, like I said, if you and I are hitting or playing, we can have a good time again and get some good competitive points going. So you'll see people at exhibitions or charity events for tennis, and most of the people will play to the level of what's on the other side, but you'll get a couple people that every second ball they're hitting a winner or hitting the other person on the other side, but you know that it makes them feel good, but it's hilarious to watch, you know, in these charity tournaments. But I think the more experience, like I said, especially a lot of the pros around town here, they can change from one level to the next and to play the level of what we need to, for sure.
And I like that. I feel like that's what I'm going to try in this tournament. I'm going to literally full-on be out there and be like, I'm going to play you. I feel like play back at me. I'll play you, you play me. I'll play you, you play me. See if it works. I'm going to try it.
And you don't see that as much in poker,
right?
Where people will play down to the level.
Right.
Because it's such a game where you're playing so much to win.
Right.
And there's so much money involved.
That's the key.
But
that's
the key. You will see it in some types of charity tournaments and stuff where people will just play for fun and they'll play totally different. Right. Than they normally would play.
Probably the non-ultra competitive people. Right, yeah.
Right, just to have fun.
Right.
But typically if you see poker players at a table and they know they're up against weak players, no matter what level you're playing at, they're going to try to take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, we need to take our final break, but don't forget, we are live out here at 201 Monument Road with the 10th NXL main event. It's the first one of 2021. Gentlemen, help me with my eyes. What do we got over there? How many players are registered?
196.
196 nice. Players
How do you like
registered.
That? How do you like that under now?
I will tell you this. Who
Never
said 203?
Happening. Guaranteed
Who's the 203?
To go
Was
over
that you,
303.
Dustin? 303. Or 303. Oh, he said 303. Okay. So here we go. 197. There's still
Guaranteed.
Line in the cage. Registration is open until slightly after 8, so you have plenty of time, about an hour and a half to get here. We still love to welcome you to the tournament. Reggie Exum is here. You can knock him out. You won't get anything, but you can knock him out. You do have 5 bounties. Knock any of those guys out, and you get $110 on the spot, free rolling for the tournament. First place looks like it's going to be around $5,000.
More than that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, we are back. This is the Best Bet Poker Show, all things poker, every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on 1010XL.
That's right.
92.5, Twitch, Facebook. You cannot get away from us. There is no escape of the
all
Best
up
Bet
in your
Poker
business.
Show. We are all up in your business. So we are now, there is over 200 players already in the 1010XL main event. Those of you who took the over of 303, lock it up. It's going over. Dustin, Tom, sorry. I still like the over.
I mean, it's looking pretty good. We got 90 minutes left, and, I mean, you're, what, 60% of the way there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking good.
Look, easy win for me, easy win. They act like I don't know what I'm doing around here. So we got a lot of stuff going on, as always, in the poker rooms. Tomorrow, we're giving away $1,000 every hour. You can be at either property, so go wherever you want to play, Jacksonville or the Orange Park location. Just off 295 on Roosevelt 17 right there. You can't miss the Orange Park, Best Bet Orange Park.
That's a great promo.
Yeah, high end of the hour from two to midnight.
Yeah.
Also, you know, if you like our live streams, we have a lot of cool things coming up tonight. In about an hour, at a little after, I guess about an hour and 15 minutes, we will start streaming a feature table of the 1010XL event.
Yep.
So as we talk about this tournament being a fun, casual event, this is a cool one to watch because you see all kinds of play. You see a lot of people come in, a lot of different people, and we will stream all the way through a feature table through the final table. And so that's cool, and it's a long stream. Tomorrow night, we got a 2-2 no-limit hold'em. Friday night at 2-5 No Limit Hold'em. Next Friday, if you like PLO, we got a big 5-10 PLO game. Those guys go a little bit crazy. It's a lot of fun. I like watching the PLO streams because I'm not as good a PLO player as I am a No Limit Hold'em player. So I always learn a lot from those PLO streams. I like watching the Hold'em streams also, but I like to mix it up. What do you think?
Well, that PLO game is uncapped, so it's one of the few games that we stream where you can see somebody buy in for 25K, 30K. There's no max buy-in, so you're going to see a whole different range of buy-ins, which is going to really affect people's play styles. So you'll see guys coming in for 2,000, and you'll see guys coming in for 25,000.
Right, it's really interesting dynamic to the game when that happens.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, last time we had some guys coming in for like 1,200, so you see all different ranges of stack depth and how that affects their post-flop play and their pre-flop decisions.
Interesting, and there are a couple of different schools of thought in Pot Limit Omaha. Some people like to buy in short and just get it all in.
Yep.
Where other people like to buy in and have a lot of money
and just
and
flip.
Be able to make plays on the people who buy in short. I've been just trying to get it in. So that's just about going to do it for us. For all things poker, anything you want to know about our promotions, tournaments, don't forget the Winter Open starts next week. Lots of great tournaments. The first series we've had in a year. Check us out on the web at bestbetjacks.com. We got a very cool new website. Surf around. You'll see everything. That's going to do it for us tonight. For myself, the boss, Allie McDeal in action, hopefully still. Dustin, Country, Tom, thanks everybody very much. We'll see you next week right here on the Best Bet Poker Show.